and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. So it's not unlikely that many of us have heard Psalm 23, what? 100 times? At least? Yep, 100 times. It's only 6 verses long, but it is King David's crowning hymn. It is, at least, it's arguably the most beautiful psalm that there is in the entirety of the Psalter. Right, the full beauty of the truth of which it speaks can't be fully approached by even the angels. King David begins, he says, "The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd." And what a sweet surprise this is, right? Off of the beginning, "The Lord is my shepherd." Right? Because shepherds were not viewed as high-standing members of society. Right? The infinite Lord God Almighty assumes the character of a lowly shepherd for us. The shepherds walked before and behind their sheep. Without being too graphic, you know what they were walking through, right? And on top of that, shepherds bedded down with their sheep at night to protect them from the wolves, keep their flock safe. So they did not smell all that great. They were outcasts. People didn't want to, if you were a shepherd, you had friends who were only other shepherds for these reasons. Now, if you remember, King David himself was once a shepherd, wasn't he? And understood well both the needs of the sheep and the many, many sacrifices the shepherd needs to make for them. Right? Sleepless nights, infighting. You ever seen two rams fight one another? Ooh. Their skulls are an inch thick for a reason. Right? Fighting off, beating back the wolves. Constant, constant oversight. The blood, the sweat, the tears to keep the flock safe. In this psalm, King David likens himself to a lamb who's weak and defenseless, foolish even, all of which David was. And the Lord is his protector, his provider, his director. You see, when David says, "The Lord is my shepherd," he's saying, "The Lord is my everything. If it weren't for the Lord, I wouldn't be here." That's what he's saying. He causes me to live, to breathe, to have my being. Well, a lamb back then, and today for that matter, is an object of someone's property. Right? You own a sheep. It is not a wild animal. A sheep is not a loner out there in the wild. It's been brought into the shepherd's fold, into the flock of the shepherd. And its owner values it very, very highly, oftentimes bought at a great price. That the Lord is my shepherd means that we belong to God. We are his. There's no if, there is no but, there's no I hope so about it. The psalm plainly declares the beauty of the gospel truth. The Lord is my shepherd. But the sweetest word in this whole sentence, I would argue anyway, is that word, "my." The Lord is my shepherd. Because David does not say that the Lord is the shepherd of the world at large. He does not say the Lord is the shepherd of a great multitude, or anything like that. He's not the great shepherd of the universe. What does he say? The Lord is my shepherd. He is my shepherd. And that means that if he be a shepherd to no one else, then I can bet the farm that he's a shepherd to me. He cares for me. He watches over me. He guards me. He preserves me. He allows me to lay down in green pasture and to drink from still water. He feeds me into life. And notice how these words in the psalm, and in all psalms are prayers, right? It's the prayer book of God's people of Israel and now the church. These words are in the present tense, right? They're present tense because this is important. What it means that the Lord is my shepherd, right? In the present tense, right now, is that whatever position I may find myself in this life, whether I am sick, whether I am well, whether I am weak, whether I am strong, whether I'm on the mountain or deep down in the valley of death, no matter where I am always, always, always under the protection, under the care of the shepherd. And because of that, David says, I shall never want. What could I ever want when the Lord is my portion? When he has devoted himself to me in this way, what could I ever want? I might want otherwise, but when the Lord is my shepherd, don't you know he knows my every need? And he provides for it. Because his heart is full of love for me. And he gives me everything I need for this life and for salvation. Does he not feed the ravens and cause even the lilies of the valley to grow? Is his grace not completely sufficient for me? If famine should devastate this land, or calamity, or pestilence, or political unrest for that matter, if it destroy everything that I know, I shall never want. I shall never be in want, because my shepherd sees my depravity, sees what I truly need, and he feeds me with his own body and his own blood. Right? This is who our shepherd is. He gives all of himself to us. Now, when I am closer to my Father's house, and old age has made this body weary, wearier, I'll say, and more feeble, even death, with all of its gloom, should never find me in despair, not as a member of this shepherd's flock. In Christ I shall never want, because through him what do I have? All things, right? Through Christ I have all things, and I have them in abundance, overflowing in baskets, as it were, in the gospel lesson. And it's not because, you know, I've made a good provision for myself in the bank or a 401k, not because I have skill or wit or wisdom, which I really don't, but because and only because it's the Lord who's my shepherd. The wicked always want, right? If you go and read through all of the sacred texts of the Bible, the wicked are always in want. They're always wanting more and more and more. The hearts of wicked men are always far from satisfaction, far from being content. But the hearts of men given over to the Lord overflow in abundance, because he knows what the Lord gives is exactly what he needs. And nothing more and nothing less. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. And this is getting at the Christian life having two chief elements about it, right? One is the contemplative, right? The contemplative. One is the active. Both of these in Christ are richly, richly provided for. First, the contemplative, right? He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Right? And what are these green pastures but the sacred scriptures, the holy word of God that he gives to us, right? He gives his word straight to us, that we would have it and know it and know him by it. Always fresh, always green, always bursting with life. Always a rich pasture, never exhausted. Right, that never dries up in the dead of a North Carolina summer like mine does. Sweet and nutritious to the soul are the doctrines of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. That's what the Bible says. But notice the wording of the psalm here, right, in this particular, he maketh me to lie down. He maketh me to lie down. Right? It is the Lord who enables us to perceive the beauty of this truth and to feed and feast upon it. Many a guru and false spiritual people all over the world would search their whole lives for just an iota, just a grain of truth, selling the whole world for it. But our shepherd simply gives it to us in its fullness. There's nothing lacking. It's all there. All that we need for this life and salvation, to where we're able to lie down and rest in its provision. But the second part of a vigorous Christian life consists of activity, right? Consists of doing, being doers of the word. Right? Because the shepherd bids us not only to contemplate his words, but also to act upon. To act upon. Because after he makes us to lie down in green pastures, what does he do? He leads us beside still waters. We are not always lying down to feed. Right? We are not always in divine service, hearing the word preached, receiving the sacrament of the altar. We're not always here. In fact, most of our week, we're out active. We're walking beside the still, life-giving waters of holy baptism that he's brought us into. And still waters run deep. And they're still because the waters, the Holy Spirit, the waters that the Holy Spirit brings us to, rather, are still because God loves peace. Right? Our God is not a God of chaos. He is not a God of disorder. Right? We don't run around, right, and scream and holler and act like idiots. Our God is a God of order and peace, not of turmoil and chaos and conflict. You know, a 55-gallon drum, right, big old steel drum, much, much more noisy when it's empty than when it's full, isn't it? Yes. The same is true for us, right? When we go without the shepherd's chosen means to feed us and to fill us up by his spirit and with his grace. And that silence is golden indeed, in which the Holy Spirit meets the souls of the saints. And there he conducts us. There he orders our lives. Not to raging waves of strife, not to fanaticism, but to peaceful streams of holy love and of humble obedience to Christ, who says, if you love me, you will obey me. You will keep my commands. The Lord came as a dove, right? Not as an eagle, not as an eagle. He came as the dew, not as the hurricane. And holy Elijah found him not in the fire, nor in the wind, nor in the earthquake, but in what? A still small voice coming to him in the wilderness. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me, says the Lord. Now this verse has been prayed at the bedside of many a dying saint. I've prayed it, and I bet you have too. And it has comforted their souls with the promises of their shepherd straight to them. Every single word of it points straight to the heart of our shepherd. Every word. Yea, though I walk through the valley, it says, as if we don't even have to consider running or picking up our pace at all. Why? Doesn't say either that we stop, as if to say, I'll go no further. Why? Because the psalmist says, thou art with me. Thou, O Lord, O shepherd, thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And he knows that the one who walks there through everything in life, that same one has already tread the dark valley of the shadow of death. And he has emerged victorious on the other side. He knows that his shepherd has hunted down the old tyrant of that valley, the one who for so long has bound him in chains, indeed Satan, the one who holds the power of death. And our shepherd has there cut him down, conquering him in his own valley. Because notice, and I've made this point before, I know, but it's important, right? Notice it's not the valley of death, is it? What is it? The valley of the shadow of death. Because by Christ, death in its substance has been removed for all of his sheep. And only of a shadow of it remains. And the shadow of a blade does not cut us, and the shadow of a wolf does not take down Christ's sheep. And because the Lord is my shepherd, the darkness of death can never harm nor bind me ever again. Right, this is what the Holy Apostle means, by the way, when he says death has been swallowed up in victory. And that Christ has taken away the sting of death. And because of all of this, beloved of the Lord, how could we ever, ever fear any evil? Right? How could we ever fear evil when Christ is our shepherd? Indeed, we shall fear none. For thou art with me, thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me. This is the joy of every Christian, right? Thou art with me. God himself leads us. God himself walks with us and guides us. He is with us. We are always under the protection of his mighty hand. Nothing is more precious to us than that. Nothing. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, right? Not just some days, right? Not just Sundays, right? Not now and again, right? His goodness, his mercy shall follow me the bright days as well as the dark days, right? The days of feasting as well as the days of fasting. Because my shepherd never leaves me to fend for myself. And how about this? I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. How about that? Right now hear that. Hear that. The sheep shall dwell in the house of the shepherd forever. And let that promise of Christ to you seep into your souls and into your hearts, beloved of the Lord, and be as a balm to your ailing souls. Because a servant, right, a slave, he has no permanent place in the house, certainly no more than a sheep. His residence is outside of the Father's house, right? But a son, A son lives in and dwells there forever. Don't you know that that is what he has made each one of you in his son Jesus? He has made you his adoptive children, brothers and sisters of Christ, and co-heirs with him of everything that belongs to the shepherd. Everything. And it's in his house that we will be our Father's children, at home with him forever, calling him our shepherd, calling him our friend, and even calling him our brother. In Jesus' name, amen.